O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the conclusion of our gospel this day, our Lord said unto them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. And after saying this, they took up stones to cast upon him, to take his life. But Jesus said, he hid himself, and therefore went out of the temple. What we share this day on this first Sunday of the Passion is not a message that you will like. Nobody today after Mass is going to say, thank you, Father, for what you had to say today. I appreciate that. Because today's Mass is a hard teaching, a difficult, painful reminder for us. What the message of the gospel today brings for you and I is a disturbance to our hearts and not a consolation. Today we call it the Sunday of the Passion. Sunday of Passion. It is the first Sunday of Passion Tide. We would do better to call it the first Sunday of intense suffering. Isn't that what passion denotes? An intense suffering. It is a Sunday where pain begins. It's a Sunday where hardship starts. It's where we begin to feel the real bite of what it means to reject Jesus Christ as God. And so if you leave Mass today in pain, if you leave Mass mindful of the great hardships that are to come, if you leave Mass afflicted in spirit or sorrowful over having rejected God as God, then to appropriate some of the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola, well, then you've obtained the grace of this Sunday. You've attained to the object, the grace, which should be sought from this Mass. You will feel this way because today challenges how you pass Lent, which, by the way, now has been completed. We enter into a new season now. It will reopen wounds that you would have liked to believe that you were already healed from, that you've even begun to maybe forget about. It will change the challenge who you really are. That is to say, who am I at my core? And that's the right question to ask. Who am I? Yes, I am. Specifically, I am not. And is that what St. Catherine said? Heard our Lord say. He said, I am he who is, you are she who is not. But our Lord Jesus, he is, I am. In the gospel, our Lord says, before Abraham was, I am. And how does this make sense? I am. I am denotes eternity. I am denotes that which is eternally ever present. I am is that which is Alpha and Omega, without beginning or end, that which has no past and knows no future. Simply speaking, I am is an eternal, unchanging, immutable, ever the same present. God simply is eternal present of all existence. That is to say, Jesus is, period. Punto así. That's it. Nothing else. Basta così. Jesus is. The Lord God is. He is the source of all existence. That is, every is that is gets its is from his is. That's a bit confusing. See if I can clarify that a bit. Every am that am has its am in his am. Doesn't seem like that's helping. It may have sounded like a little bit of a magic trick to say kazam, bam, wham, he am. But that is who God is. This is what we're dealing with here. It's a bunch of needlessly complicated word salad maybe to your mind right now, but maybe we could skip the wordplay of the is's and the am's and get down to the point. What's the point of what our God is trying to say about himself? That engaging in subtle wordplay games in a sermon is as sensical as arguing with who God is. That is, what we're doing here, playing with concepts and terms, trying to stump the author of the intelligence itself, or picking a fight with a strength that actually holds the whole world really and actually within the palm of his hands, and thinking that you'll ever be able to get the upper hand on him, makes about as much sense as gifting a fish a bicycle like they'll do him any good, or packing a raincoat for a trip to the moon. What help does that do? Yet that's exactly what we see within so many of the gospel passages that we often have with arguments between the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They don't know who it is that they're dealing with. And because of that, their unwillingness to see, as we went over weeks ago, the only result is frustration, murderous threats against the truth. And worse, what do we have here within the gospel laid for us today at the end? The worst thing is this. It's that Jesus must hide. That the Lord of glory must leave his temple. This isn't merely a first century problem. It's going around us all today. I don't have to give you specific examples over and over again because it seems every time that I do, you can't listen to them later. How often are those who speak the truth suppressed? Or how often are the prophets silenced and canceled? How frequently do wise persons use subtly concocted distinctions to shred the unified perennial teaching of God's holy church? To allow marriage to be extended to those who can't. Sins that scream out to heaven receive a good word spoken. Liturgies sacred for generations are suddenly prohibited altogether or judged to be harmful. Lifelong bonds easily can be discarded. Old virtues and customs restraining carnal vice, enforcing gendered roles, are pushed aside. They say we're short-sighted or bound by our times, but now we can finally live in liberty because we're in an enlightened age that is moving beyond so many of the things which have come before. All of this is seeking a subtle change of words, to find a hidden meaning, a new slice that's there, unearthing a novel discovery hidden in times past that flips a former prohibition on its head. For the weakness of the flesh, we found a more inclusive way forward. It was all there all along, so the old can be tossed out in favor of something which is more new, more accustomed to the thinking of our present time. And what's the result of such thinking, of such subtle argumentation, of new excavations? The result is the same now as it was in the first century. It's this, that our Lord Jesus hides. He's forced into hiding. The King of Glory must leave his temple. This kind of unfaithfulness drives the Lord of Glory away. The church has been preparing us for this fact for century upon century. There's a reason why today you can't see the crucifix clearly. It's hidden for us. It's covered today to remind you and I of this very fact, that he has to leave his temple. The saints are shielded from our eyes this day for a reason, to prepare us for that day when the temple of God is empty. The Passiontide is given to us to pray against that day so that we might be strong and prepared and ready, safeguarded against the very worst of it. Didn't our Lord prophesy this as he was on his way to his passion? Again, we point you to that eighth station. Our Lord prophesied these words. They don't come from me. Luke 23:27 and following. It says, "And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women, who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not over me, but rather weep for yourselves and for your children and for your children's children. For behold, the days shall come wherein they will say, Blessed are all who are barren in the wombs that have not borne, and the paps that have not given suck. Then they shall say to the mountains, Fall upon us, and to the hills, cover us. For if such happens when the wood is green, how shall it be when the wood is dry?" So at some point, all of this, everything here, at some point it's all going to be taken away from us. This liturgy, this church, the beautiful music that we are so blessed to have, the great teachings which are consistently given from this very spot, the boldness and the courage of men one day will fail. The Eucharist, the priesthood, your pastor, and I, we will be taken away from you. And sadly, a lot sooner than you expect. You see, saying these things doesn't bring me any pleasure. It's not something I want to say. But this is passion. This is a passion tide. It's because of fighting with God. That's why this is happening. It's because accusing the truth of being something as illegitimate. It's because of denouncing the saintly as though it were devilish. It's because of willful contradiction of those things which are absolutely incontrovertible. That's why this has happened. And this is why it will continue. There is nothing that you and I can do about it. And that's the thing that hurts most. We say these things to you so that you will be prepared against that day which is going to come. It will happen. And so we need to get ready for it. Pray that your hearts may be steadied for the things which are to come. Pray that the events, that they may not catch you off guard like a thief who comes in the night to despoil. As our Lord said in the garden, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may not fall, because so many that day will fall. The spirit might be willing, but our flesh is often very weak. And so in Passion Tide, we are in Passion Tide, and certainly the church is going through Passion Tide now. And so I have to leave you there. Do not offer any words of consolation today to soften the blow of passion, because we have to enter into it. We must suffer with Christ. We must be willing to go through the passion with the church and not seek an assuagement of the suffering which must come. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be tempted to enter into these painful moments. We must not quiver in the face of the terrible things which are yet to be seen. Ponder as well how our blessed Lord Jesus is forced into hiding, not because of all the things that we spoke about that are going on within the world, but that he's forced into hiding to leave his temple because it is I who fail to convert. Because I won't change my heart. Because I'm the one who will fail to stand up for what is true. Because I fail to be what my baptism and all the sacraments which I have received countless times throughout my life aren't changing who I actually am, and I fail to live up to them. I'm the primary cause of the hiding of Jesus Christ, for the fact that he has to leave his temple. This is something that we should weep over, and that maybe we will be spared the brunt of the attack and somehow have a grace to be able to withstand the blow which will come. And because it is the feast of St. Patrick, remember, he was told that the lights would indeed go out. But because it's his day, we can turn to him for a consolation as well, because he left us a way out, a courage, something to shield us even when all the visible signs of everything which we rely upon in the faith are stripped away from us. And that's why we stayed up late last night making sure that you would have a copy of them. The Lorik of St. Patrick. The breastplate of St. Patrick. It's a prayer of protection. Prepare of shielding ourselves from all the malignant forces which do seek the destruction of our very being. We pray this prayer. Pray this prayer in the midst of the passion. In the midst of the hiding of our Lord Christ. That in the midst of the departure of the Lord from his temple, only faith can pray a prayer like this to obtain mercy, protection in those moments. So with the time remaining, if you happen to have picked a copy up when you're in, or you got one with you, I'm going to pray it now. But you pray in agreement, trusting that this is what you desire to be shielding you against the day when what our Lord says here doesn't just happen back in the first century, but happens in a more stark and definitive way in those things which are still yet to come. So we pray, arise today, I arise today, through the might, the strength, through an invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth and his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion and his burial, through the strength of his resurrection and his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of his love of cherubim, through the obedience of the angels and the service of the archangels, in the hope of the resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of the patriarchs and the preachings of the apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I arise today through the strength of heaven, through the light of the sun, through the splendor of fire, through the speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, the depths of the sea, the stability of the earth, the firmness of the rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, through God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand that it might guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from the snares of the devil, from the temptations of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, whether afar or near, alone or in a multitude. I summon today all these powers between me and evil, against every cruel and merciless power that opposes my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against the false laws of heretics, against the craft of idolatry, against spells of women and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul. Christ, shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that reward may come to me in abundance. Christ be with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in the eye of the one who sees me, Christ in the ear of he that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength of the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession in the oneness of the Creator of all creation. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Christ. May your salvation, O Lord, be ever with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.